Getting started with solo RPGs can be a really daunting task. There's so much information out there, and sifting through it can feel like a full-time job. And despite all of it that's out there, it can be very hard to figure out just where to start. Something straightforward that says, do this, then do that. Well, here's the thing. Before you play any solo RPGs, you need to figure out what game you're going to play. And there are different types of solo RPG games out there. Step one is picking the one that's best for you. I put together a little PDF that details different types of solo RPG games and also walks you through the pros and cons of each, so you can decide what you want out of your solo RPG journey. Do you just like running through dungeons, killing monsters, or journaling from your character's point of view? Or do you want an in-depth story and you're really excited to jump on both sides of the screen, being both the player and your own game master? This PDF details all those types of games and more, as well as concrete examples so you know what to buy next. You can get it by going to crumblingkeep.com/solo. That's crumblingkeep.com/solo. Let's get you playing with yourself.
Hi, I'm James, and one of my first ever D&D characters died because my own teammates shot him in the back with magic missiles and trampled him with a horse. I'm here to dork out about dungeons and designs on Crumbling Keeps, The Dungeon Dork. Let's talk about starting a new campaign. There's a lot of ways to go about this, and I'm just going to give you mine. Now, note, this is a little bit extra. Actually, scratch that. It's a lot extra. And I wouldn't use it unless you're investing the time in a campaign that you plan to run for a very long time. But there's a lot I like about it. The way it incorporates the players into the backstory, the way it incorporates their characters' backgrounds into the game, and the way they all get to meet up organically. I think it fosters a lot of really cool role-playing moments. But enough of that. Let's get into it. So, at heart, I'm a world builder. That's one of my favorite things about playing RPGs, is world building. So often, I will think about starting a new campaign, and I will read books from a campaign world and think about how cool it would be to run a game in said campaign world. And then I'll just make my own. I can't fight the urge. It's too strong. Something in those campaign worlds will spark a thought of like, ooh, what if it was like this, but different in these ways? And I'll just start running with it. So to scratch that itch, when I'm starting a new campaign, I'll come up with a little bit of background information for the campaign world, for the players. A few pages at most. You don't want to overwhelm them. But buried in that information, you do want hooks. Little plot pieces that could happen. The dark overlord from the south is taxing the people of yada, yada, yada. There's rumors of a dragon killing livestock to the blah, 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 blah. One of the reasons to do this is because, well, we'll get to it in a moment, but you're giving things for the players to latch onto. And it's neat because when we're done, you're going to know what they think is cool and what to actually use. So anyway, you write out these few pages and make sure it's not all just world building background. You want plot hooks, you want plot pieces, and you turn it over to the players. And then you have them create their characters. Now, this is a potentially long-term campaign we're starting here. And the players for such a campaign that I'm imagining probably have some character backstories. I know that's not everybody's thing. In this instance, I don't really care. But based on what you wrote to put into your campaign, all that document you just gave them, likely they're going to latch on to pieces of that and include it in their backstory. That dragon you mentioned that was killing livestock, well, guess what? One of the players was like, "Oh, that's cool. I think it also killed my little brother Timmy, Timmy the halfling, everybody's favorite halfling." So you're going to look for things like that in their backstories because that's going to tell you what parts of this campaign world you just created they're going to want to pursue, and it's going to guide your prep. Now, they're also going to come up with things that didn't appear in your little campaign dossier at all. But now you have the opportunity, while you're collecting the bits that you know that they like, to collect those as well and see where you're going to use them. Now, one word of advice, like I said, this is going to be a long-term campaign. While you're sifting through their information, you want to think about what can be a hook right now that's going to get their character interested in going along with the game. And what is something to be resolved much later? What is something to be built up to? And then you're going to start planning your session one. Now, session zero happens somewhere in here too, and you can discuss some of the things the players wrote here. But I would also suggest keeping some of their backstory, at least probably most of their backstory, secret from each other. Why? Because it's going to come up in role-playing at some point in time. And as we go through this, I'm going to explain how that works. So, I mentioned earlier that this approach is a lot extra, and here's perhaps where it gets to be the most extra. If you gave them a map and tied some of those plot hooks to locations or whatnot, they probably chose places that their character hails from or is currently living or something like that. So you have location and you have plot. And now, as you plan session one, and it's going to be session 1.1, 1.2, 1.3, 1.4, going to bring the characters together for a common goal. I can't offer you any real concrete advice on how to take all those disparate pieces and combine them together into a goal that they all want to follow. That's going to be on you. You got to sift through what they left you, figure out how it can all work together, have that stroke of genius, wake up, drink a pot of coffee, or go to the bar, have a few pints. Something will hit you eventually. But once you know what that is, you can start thinking of where are the characters now and how do I get them to that? How do I get them together to go through this campaign on this thread that you came up with? So I said it's going to be session 1.1, 1.2, 1.3, etc. And the reason I phrased it that way is because I'll start one-on-one games with every single player. Unless two of them have already written their backstory together, at which case, bonus, bring them both in for that 1.1, 1.2, yada, yada. And you're going to take them from their humble beginnings to where they're all going to meet. Bonus points is along the way, You start seeding information in for the larger quests that they're all going to be pursuing that the other characters are not going to get. You can even do this before you actually start playing and send them information that their character knows before play. So every character has a piece of this information. They have a piece of the puzzle that they're going to get before they ever start playing and that they're going to get on those first session or two, however long you want to run them before they actually meet together. What's going to be awesome about that is when the player characters do finally join up, and as it becomes apparent, they're working together for a common goal, and eventually that information you gave them comes to light, and they're like, oh, that's why this is important. They're going to have these great little role-playing spots where they discuss it in character and start piecing it together. And it's just going to bounce off of each other as they realize, oh, you knew that because that puts into context this information I had. It's a beautiful thing when you can pull it off. And once you have them all together like that, then you can start alternating between their personal adventures, because everyone probably has some personal goals they wrote into their backstory or things that can come back to haunt them, etc. And the main adventure. And there's a lot of ways you can go about that, but this episode is about starting the campaign. And that's going to move into keeping the campaign going. Do you have to do all this? God, no. No, you do not. If you want a counterpoint, a quick little way to get everyone moving together quickly, right before you start the adventure in medias res, give every player an index card. Have them write something from their character's past on it. Once they do that, they pass it to the left. That player writes how they were connected with that incident. And once they do, they pass it to the left again, and that player writes how they were connected with everything that's already on there. Three index cards passes, and you have a completely integrated party. You don't have to waste time on all of the nonsense I just told you about, and you can get moving. There's not a right or wrong way to do this per se, as long as you and everyone at the table is enjoying themselves. If there's things I said that you're like, that's awesome, and things I said that you're like, never in a million years, take what you like, cobble it together, make it your own. It's really about finding your own way and style to do this. And while everyone talks like there's just their way is the proper way, it's all just competing theories. The more you can get, the more you'll jumble around in your own head and come up with what works for you. And dang, is that cool when you figure it out? Because then you can put it on your own podcast or blog post or whatever else. And I can't wait to see what you come up with. Thanks for listening to today's episode. If you have any questions about anything I talked about here today or on any past episodes of Dungeon Dorks, go to crumblingkeep.com/question and ask away, or just check the link in the show notes.